Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me and will be with me to the end. For those that know Him tonight, there's a realness in being near Him. Stand with us if you can as we read from Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll begin at verse number 8. Just going to read through verse number 14. Powerful chapter, and certainly not going to share anything exhaustive, but I do have a specific thought tonight that He's laid on our hearts, and I want to be mindful and obedient to share that, so you pray for us. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 8 is where we begin. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Pray with us. Lord, thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be exposed to Your truth and to Your word. We pray You make it real to us, make it live in our hearts, and may we live for You. Guide us now in this as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to spend just a few minutes tonight speaking expressly about the Holy Spirit. No way that we could cover everything that needs to be said, but I do have a few things that I feel led to say. Sometimes I believe we simply need to be reminded of who He is. Reminded not only that He is God, the third part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And even though God chose to reveal Himself unto us through all three of these, He is yet one. One with Christ, one with God the Father. The Spirit of God is not an it, it is a He. It is the same as the Father and the Son. If you've experienced the Holy Spirit of God, you know Christ. If you know Christ, you know God. You cannot know one without the other. Many believe they think in God and yet do not believe in Christ. It is not possible. At this point, since Christ's resurrection and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is but one way to know God. And that is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you being filled with His Holy Spirit. What man can understand God apart from the Holy Spirit give him understanding? what men can see into this light or experience the light of God, save the Holy Spirit make it possible in one's own mind and heart. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And I want to share just a few things from verses 13 and 14 tonight as our text. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's three things that I want to say specifically about the Spirit of God tonight. One is that it is the Spirit of God that draws you to the Father. Jesus made this statement. He said, no man can come unto the Father except he be unto me, except the Father draw him. The importance of understanding the work of the Holy Spirit is imperative when it comes to the saving of a soul. There's many people that think they get to God intellectually, but you'll never get to heaven on your own smarts, on your understanding of the Scripture. You'll never get to heaven because you can comprehend something that is written from the Word. What I'll say to you tonight is if the Holy Spirit doesn't attend to the Word of God as it's brought to us, we'll never understand it anyway. The Word of God is brought to us through the Holy Spirit, and I believe according to the will of God, it's revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. May I say, how grateful I am for the Holy Spirit of God, for the presence of that precious one that comes to me and allows me to look into the truth of God, if ever so often, to look into the depths of his word and yet realize that I haven't seen it all. What a wondrous truth when we open up the word of God and find that it quickens us and that it lives as we read it and that it has power of itself and that the glory in it is revealed unto us. It's the Spirit of God that allows that, you see, for us to recognize. For the Bible said clearly that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. May I say to you tonight that if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, if it's not brought you to the understanding of his word and truth, the gospel of his salvation, if the Spirit of God hasn't revealed unto you that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are the Savior of our soul, you're still lost. You cannot have simply an intellectual understanding of God. There is no quickening by simply having knowledge. There's people today that are ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can read and study and memorize, but if you memorize the entire Bible, may I say to you today, apart from the Holy Spirit, you're still not quickened. You cannot live without that which is alive comes in and makes you live. It quickens us. It says the word of God today is quickened in us by the Holy Spirit that abides with us. With the truth, he said, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, when he comes, he said he will lead you in all truth and righteousness. Thank God for the Spirit that draws us to the Father. Amen. As I thought about the importance of these three things, number one, we're drawn by the Spirit of God. I would have never come to God if it hadn't have been for the Spirit of God. Amen. I wasn't looking for God the night he found me. I wasn't searching for God. I wasn't hunting for God. I realize that some people get in that shape where they are. And I hope to God if you're one of those tonight that you'll run to him. But I wasn't one of them. I wasn't searching for God. But he came searching for me. And you know, in just a moment of time, in a second, I went from minding my own business and not having a care in the world to being as lost a man could be. Yeah. You say, how could that be? Because the Spirit of God is what draws a man. The Spirit of God is what breaks down the heart, the carnal part, and breaks and creates an awareness within one's conscience and brings us to the place that we understand a spiritual concept that only the Spirit of God could reveal, and that is that I am lost without Jesus Christ. the Spirit of God. That's its purpose, you see, at least in salvation, is to bring us to that point of awareness. It does not make us believe. It will not make us believe. But it can bring us to that place of awareness where we recognize that we are lost. You can't get people to understand the importance of salvation unless the Spirit of God is working in the conversation. When they hear of what Christ did for them, it goes in one ear and out the other, because there's no quickening of the heart. There's no readying of the soil. There's no working of the ground. There's nothing that can happen. The seed, it falls and the devil snatches it away, or it falls on the rocks and it can't truly live or bloom. And all of these things are because it takes the Spirit of God for a man to be saved. Amen. People want you to repeat after me or say this prayer and simply believe. Now, I don't know how people get saved, but I can tell you for this, it takes the Spirit of God to be saved. Now, you could certainly repeat a prayer, and if you believe it with all your heart and the Holy Spirit has given you an unction and revealed to your lost, you can get saved. Yeah. What I'm saying is that without the Holy Spirit, you can't get saved. Right. Because getting saved is a spiritual thing. It is a process that is spiritual in nature. It is a transaction that is happening between God, who is a spirit, and your soul, which is a spirit. God is making you live by being born again. And that, friends, takes the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to close with something here in a second, which will, I hope, tie the relevance to this. But when it comes to it, let's remind ourselves that we never got saved apart from the Holy Spirit's working in our life. So may I say to you today, I'm grateful for the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I am so grateful for the third part of the Godhead that drew me that night, that convicted my soul, that broke it and brought me to an awareness as a 9-year-old boy that I was lost without God, and then revealed to me that I could go to God, showed me, gave me enough faith to believe that if I called on Him, He would hear me and He would save me. All of that the Holy Spirit worked in me. It wrought that work. It made that possible. Oh, how grateful I am that He's done that for me. The Holy Spirit has to be a part of the process, or a person won't be saved. Before I move from this particular point, I want to say that it's important that we pray for an environment of birthing. A woman won't have a child until labor has been experienced. They won't birth until labor has taken its course. And in order for us to see one born into the family of God, it requires conviction. And it requires labor on the part of many. Many that will pray and intercede and put themselves in a place of an intercessory prayer partner, whatever it means. It's important to remember it takes the Spirit of God to draw a person. And when the Spirit of God deals with a soul, they'll know who it is. They won't have to ask, was that God? They'll know who it is when God deals with them. When the Spirit of God draws, they'll know. Number two, he says in verse number 13, he said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit that draws a man to Christ, if we surrender ourselves and accept Him as our Savior, receive Him as our Lord, and are converted, we're born again. What the Apostle Paul says is that immediately after we have believed, that the Holy Spirit does another work. It then seals me until the day of redemption. Amen. Specifically, he said, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the Holy Spirit has a lot of things tied to it. But in this particular verse, he refers to it as being the Holy Spirit of promise. The promise of what? What indeed? When you think about what it means for the Holy Spirit to having taken that heart that God has purified and made clean in every way, when the Holy Spirit seals that, Apostle Paul said he seals it with the Holy Spirit of promise. He ties something to the Holy Spirit's working there. A statement that means to me that the work that the Holy Spirit does on a soul once they're born again is a promise from God of everlasting life. A promise that comes from the Holy Spirit's work in my heart. Work as it seals me. Work as it preserves me unto the day when the Lord will bring me home. Amen. The Holy Spirit does that. May I say to us again, we need to be very grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. It seals us. It seals us. When you seal something, you completely encapsulate it. You preserve it. You fill every void that removes all ability of any outside influence or force to enter in again. The Holy Spirit does that. The very instant that I was born again, the Holy Spirit sealed me. And in that sealing, in that transaction that took place by the Spirit of God in that instant of my life, there was a promise that was placed within me that can never be removed. A Holy Spirit of promise. A promise that was given unto me of everlasting life, to the point that Jesus would say, "Those whom the Father has given me, I have lost none." It can't be lost. If you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, tell me what can break down the sealing of the Holy Spirit. What has power above the Holy Spirit of God? Was it not the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep? The Spirit of God Almighty. In every way. And in the instant that I was saved, the very moment that I believed in Jesus Christ, it says the Holy Spirit sealed me. The Holy Spirit of promise moved upon my soul and forever preserved what it was that Christ had saved. I'll say this before going to my last point. If he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have made it. I have no confidence in myself, by the way. I have learned, as the Apostle Paul was clear to admit as well, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. For the will is present, he said, but how to perform it, I don't know. For the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. I have no confidence in this flesh. Thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit sealed me. If the devil could get to the soul of a believer, there would none of us make it. But the work of Calvary was perfect, and the shedding of blood, in that every sin, every stain, every blot was removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together. Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. How so? By the blood of Jesus Christ. But that cleansing, that purifying, that perfectness that is suddenly in the heart of one who is born again, it must and has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Lastly, verse number 14, he said, which is speaking of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of promise, but it's our assurance. You know, if somebody has made a promise to you, it's pretty wondrous when they also make an assurance of their promise. Right? I can promise Larry I'll come over tomorrow. But it's a whole lot more if I can give you an assurance I'll be there. The Holy Spirit has promised that it will deliver me safely. Uncorrupted, perfect and whole. The soul within me, the inward man, he will deliver unto God unscathed by this world. You say, how so? Because he sealed it. He perfected through the blood of Jesus Christ, but he sealed it and will deliver it. And I have some assurance of that. The assurance was not just the promise he made, Alfred. No, he did the most wondrous thing to assure me that when he drew and when he sealed, that it was forever preserved. He set up abode in me. What a wonder of wonders. The Apostle Paul warned in Corinthians, he said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord? Amen. And that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He said in the book of Romans, he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You understand how exclusionary that statement is? If you have not the Spirit of God, you're still lost. You cannot have it both ways. If you've ever been born again, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But also within that promise, you were given an assurance. And that assurance is the indwelling of the third part of the Godhead. If you've been born again, bless your heart, you cannot deny that he lives in you. Amen. You cannot tell me you don't know the Spirit of God. If he lives in you, friend, you know that. He lives in me. An assurance of a promise. God made Noah a promise, didn't he? Remember? Noah got off that boat and his feet touched some dry ground. God made him a promise. But he also gave him a token of the promise, didn't he? God made a rainbow. And he told Noah, he said, here's my assurance to you that the promise I have made, I will never fail to keep. The rainbow was God's token. It was his pledge. It was the earnest of the inheritance that he was giving unto Noah. He said, Noah, I'll never flood this earth again like this. I'll never destroy the earth again with water. And to give you a token of my assurance for the promise I am making, I have made a rainbow, the first one they had ever seen, a rainbow. And he said, every time you see that, it will remind you of the promise that I have made. You see, God has given me the earnest of my inheritance. My inheritance is far more vast than I could ever understand or comprehend. It's like saying somebody who was rich giving me all they had but never telling me how much they have. I just know that I get what they have when they die. Listen, my inheritance, when I leave this world, I can't give you the value of it because I can't even comprehend the greatness of its worth. But I have a promise that I'm going. I have a promise that I am a part. I've been made an heir and a joint heir with Christ. I have an inheritance that is eternal and everlasting in the heavens. I have that inheritance. Amen. And the Holy Spirit gives me a token, a pledge, an earnest for that inheritance. And that is its indwelling. Every time that you feel the Spirit of God
It is a reminder that you are to inherit the kingdom. Every time that we experience the Holy Spirit of God, it is a reminder that I have a promise of God and it will not fail. The Holy Spirit drew me, the Holy Spirit sealed me, and the Holy Spirit filled me. And these simple doctrines of the Holy Spirit are not compromisable. Right? It's not negotiable. You'll not get to God unless the Holy Spirit gets you to Him. Because getting to God is a spiritual process. It takes the Spirit of God to get you to God. To get you to understand the things of God. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. You cannot be saved apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. And once you are saved, then it requires the Holy Spirit's work again, and that you be sealed, according to verse number 14, until the day of the redeemed possession. The day of redemption when he shall retrieve what he bought with the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's infilling is the earnest of our inheritance. If you go to buy something and you don't have all the money on you, you can give them a certain amount, right? They call it a down payment, or they call it the earnest money, right? It's going to cost you $1,000. Say, I'll give you $100 and I'll come back with the rest of it tomorrow. But this is the earnest. This is my promise. This is my pledge to you. I'm giving you this as a token that I will come back and I will pay the rest so that I can get what I bought. I have that earnest, you see. The earnest of my inheritance is the Holy Spirit of God. All right. Number one, it takes the Spirit of God to get me to Him. Number two, it takes the Spirit of God to keep me His, sealed until the day of redemption. And number three, I have a pledge, a token, the earnest of my inheritance, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You say, is that all the Holy Spirit got? No, heavens, no. I told you it wasn't exhaustive. There's only three things I want you to take away from this tonight. I'll give you a fourth here in just a second. But three things. You can't get to God unless the Holy Spirit's a part of the process. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit has to seal you and will. If you're born again, it will. And number three, the Holy Spirit will fill you once you are His. Not negotiable. But number four. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30, the Apostle Paul gave this very clear. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed until the day of redemption. That's what he said. You can flip it over there and read it in Ephesians 4:30. I'd like for us to take away tonight the warning that I believe Paul was trying to share. I didn't get saved apart from the Holy Spirit's working in my life. Right? He convicted me. He brought me to faith. He gave me the faith. He brought me to the place that I could even believe in a spirit, in the eternal God. Once I was saved, He sealed me to preserve me and promise that I would make it to heaven one day. Eternal life. That's what Jesus promised, was it not? The Holy Spirit of promise has made that possible. And number three, He filled me. I tell you right now, if there's anybody in this world that I don't want to grieve, it's Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Oh, how sad to think that we grieve the Spirit of God. But we do. We follow the flesh, and instead of walking in the Spirit, we walk in the flesh. We mind the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit. Every day we have choices to make, and these, I want us to recall and remember the importance of these. Friend, every time that we make a choice and we exclude the Holy Spirit, we've put ourselves in a place to grieve the very one who keeps us in the pledge of His promise and will deliver us unto God safely one day.
May we never grieve the Holy Spirit. May our minds ever be aware of the opportunity that we have to please Him, to serve Him, to live for Him, to be mindful of Him, to recognize that we do and can grieve the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. I'm grateful tonight for the Spirit of God, and I hope that we at least take this away, that we need to be grateful and aware of His presence always in our life. I'm a child of God today. What makes me different than anybody else in this world that's not saved is that the Spirit of God abides within me. Right, what's wrong with so many in this world is they look at Christians and they say, well, they're no different than me. I beg your pardon. If you've been born again, you're very different. You're very different. Because, number one, the Spirit of God abides in you. And that makes all the difference in the world. Come and get a song. I don't know who you are tonight, but if you're not right with God, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How sad. It happens all the time. We give an invitation and the Spirit of God deals with someone and they don't come. Yeah. Don't do that. Hear me tonight. The Spirit of God's only hope you've got. Amen. Don't do that. Don't reject Him. Don't turn Him away. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Spirit's working. It's the only hope you have. He alone brings a man to God. He alone seals it to the day of redemption. He alone indwells us to prove His promises ever true. Don't grieve Him. You better mind Him. You better obey Him. Whatever the cost, obey the Spirit of God. Stand as we sing.